Welcome to Family Policy Matters, an engaging and informative weekly radio show and podcast produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Hi, this is John Rustin, president of NC Family, and we're grateful to have you with us for this week's program. It's our prayer that you will be informed, encouraged, and inspired by what you hear on Family Policy Matters, and that you will feel better equipped to be a voice of persuasion for family values in your community, state, and nation. And now here is our host of Family Policy Matters, Tracy DeVette Griggs.
Thanks for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. Among the many changes and challenges that come with living through a pandemic, perhaps one of the most difficult has been school. When students were abruptly sent home last spring, families and schools alike often felt ill-equipped to continue students' studies at home. But as weeks turned into months, many families, for the first time, began looking at homeschooling with new eyes. With various reports suggesting that many students are failing to thrive under the changing landscape of distance education, hybrid splits between school and home, and other options, it might be helpful for non-homeschooling parents to learn from veteran homeschoolers regarding how they have navigated these challenges for many years now. Well, Michael Donnelly, senior counsel with the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, is here to talk about it. Mike Donnelly, welcome to Family Policy Matters.
Thanks, Tracy. It's great to be with you today.
After finishing last school year at home, did you hear of families who discovered that they were surprised to find they could actually homeschool?
Tracy, absolutely. A lot of folks during the early stages of the virus situation decided that they were going to try the homeschooling thing. And a lot of them found that it worked out really well, and they decided to keep on doing it. And what we saw over the summer was that that number actually grew significantly as it became clear that things were not going to be going back to normal for the school year. Parents made the decision in August and then even into September that they were going to be keeping their children out of the various remote slash hybrid slash, you know, whatever they were doing programs in the public schools, and they were going to go ahead and homeschool. And we saw record-breaking growth, which has been validated by government surveys, members of our association and other organizations involved in homeschooling. And I think it's safe to say that what we've seen is that regular homeschooling has at least doubled in most places. And in some cases, it's grown by even much more than that.
Right, because you're talking nationally, right?
That is correct, on a national basis. But even on a state-by-state basis, there is no state that has not seen a very significant growth. And of course, North Carolina had a very large homeschooling population even before this all began.
What have you heard from families who have students still enrolled in public schools and how they're dealing with things?
You know, a lot of people said, we're going to continue with the public school, people juggling work schedules, and they want their kids to be, you know, involved in the public education programs that are available to them. And they said they were going to stick with it, and they did. And what we're seeing, though, is that a lot of folks, again, seeing that things are really not kind of going back to where they want them to go, are saying, I can't do this anymore. And the common things we're hearing are, you know, there are issues relating to kids, and these can be health related issues with children experiencing headaches from being on computer screens for too long or boredom. I mean, it's difficult for teachers who are trying to do the best they can, I know, to teach through a computer. It's just such a totally different kind of learning, and it's not working real well for a lot of kids. To family situations or family issues where parents aren't able to juggle all the multiple things that are being asked of them with multiple children. So we've just seen an increase in the frustration, and we're actually seeing an increase in the number of folks who are joining our association. And anecdotally, we're hearing that homeschooling is continuing to rise pretty significantly here, even as the school year goes on.
So are you hearing from these families that have made the switch to homeschooling, or is it too early to know how they're doing?
You know, we're hearing some things. There hasn't been a lot of data collection on what's happening with the homeschooling families right now. But, you know, we're hearing that a lot of folks are experiencing very positive outcomes. They're enjoying the flexibility that homeschooling allows. They're enjoying the ability to tailor a different curriculum from what the schools have been offering that was working better for their children. They're enjoying the fact that their kids are not stuck in front of a computer screen. You know, and a lot of folks where there were school that was going on that was part in class and part not in class, some of those kids, they weren't thriving. And the parents said, I'm not going to keep sending you back there. We're going to do the homeschooling. So lots of different reasons for people and lots of different benefits that folks have expressed that they're experiencing from kind of unplugging from the public education system and trying homeschooling.
Right. Do you think these new homeschooling families are surprised to find how many resources and networking avenues there are among homeschooling families?
Probably a little bit surprised. I mean, folks who've never homeschooled before, you know, they just don't know what they're getting into. It's very doable, but, you know, when you've never done something before, it seems a little daunting. And the reality is there are so many resources. Some folks have even reported to me that it's overwhelming. I mean, the availability of curriculum, both online curriculum and sort of physical curriculum that you can buy from various vendors. And also, there were so many homeschoolers. Again, North Carolina had a very large homeschooling population. Many, many support groups, both through Facebook or other social media sites, and also in person. Although, obviously, you know, the in-person meetings have been somewhat restrained as a result of, you know, some of the things going on with this coronavirus. And the homeschooling community is very welcoming. And we've, you know, really been encouraged by what we've seen with people reporting that they feel very supported when they finally end up connecting with another homeschooling family.
So for those families that are just entering into homeschooling, though, this is not necessarily exactly how homeschooling goes, right? I mean, there are some things you guys, as you mentioned, are not able to do right now.
That's true. Without the virus constraints, homeschoolers are very active and getting together. Many, many co-ops, sometimes very large co-ops, would get together. We call them co-ops. That's parents getting together with families where the parents share the teaching responsibility for certain things. And they can be very large or they can be very small. But that's more difficult to do under the current conditions. But what we found was a lot of families who were homeschooling during the pandemic, although they had to kind of change, they were kind of used to having their kids at home. And so they kind of, not quite without a beat, but they kind of kept on moving with their education. And it was really exciting to see so many other folks trying out the homeschooling option and enjoying it.
So this idea that I think many people have that homeschooling is isolating for the kids sounds like that's really not the case.
It's not the case. Homeschoolers are very social. You know, we're social people. You know, I mean, all human beings are social. We like to get together and do stuff together. And homeschoolers are the same way. And they were doing that. And they're still doing that. And, you know, what homeschooling allows people is to pick who they want to get together with, you know, and under the virus circumstances, you want to get together with people you know. Maybe you don't want to be around as many people you don't know because you just don't know, you know, what the health situation would be. So this really allows people the freedom, the flexibility to integrate education into what they're doing with their life. And with families home, there's more family time. Parents and kids are together more. And, you know, some people might say that's not so great, but what we've found is that parents are really enjoying that and kids too. They're really enjoying the freedom and flexibility and the opportunity to connect with each other that the situation has presented.
You're listening to Family Policy Matters, a weekly radio show and podcast of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. This is just one of the many ways NC Family works to educate and inform citizens across North Carolina about policy issues that impact North Carolina families. Our vision is to create a state and nation where God is honored, religious freedom flourishes, families thrive, and life is cherished. For more information about NC Family and how you can help us to achieve this incredible vision for our state and nation, visit our website at ncfamily.org. Again, that's ncfamily.org. And be sure to sign up to receive our email updates, action alerts, and of course our flagship publication, Family North Carolina Magazine. We'd also love for you to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
You mentioned the impact, and of course, we're all fully aware of that. One of the impacts that we've been hearing about is a widening achievement gap due to the pandemic. Are you hearing that that's the case?
The achievement gap is a term that I have heard used. It was used a lot. It's been used a lot for a long time, and it can mean different things. But what I understand it to mean is that, you know, there's this achievement gap between cities and schools in poor areas versus schools in more wealthy or affluent areas. And sometimes people talk about achievement gaps even within ethnic groups. I guess I've also heard some people talking about the achievement gap where, you know, during the pandemic, some people who have more resources are able to provide for you know, their kids versus those who have less resources and are struggling to with the public school and really don't have any other options. So that is something that I have heard talked about. But in the homeschool community, you know, parents are all free to help their children achieve to their potential. And, you know, I'll tell you that what's interesting, when you look at the government surveys that have been done since the pandemic began, one of the groups that has grown the fastest are the lower income groups, because homeschooling is not expensive. Homeschooling is something you can do in your home. It does not cost a lot of money to purchase curriculum for children, especially in the elementary grades, but even in the high school grades. And so folks on the lower income spectrum are not barred from participating in homeschooling. It's something you can do. I think there are plenty of kids who are probably doing just fine with the remote learning, and they're getting the help from their parents at home, or they're just able to make it work. You know, there are many that are not, and they do need the option to do different things, and they should be supported in that from, you know, public policy and, you know, society. Society should embrace different ways of education. I mean, look, we're a pluralistic society, and we need to embrace differences in all kinds of areas, especially in the area of education. We should not, you know, be comfortable or be happy with just a one-size-fits-all approach to education. Unfortunately, there are many people who just want one-size-fits-all education, and that's wrong. It's not the right way for a country like ours to do education. And I'm hopeful that, you know, coming through this virus situation, one of the things that people will be more comfortable with is embracing that kind of pluralism in education.
Do you have any tips for families who are either new at this or just kind of trying to hang in there as far as how they can set realistic expectations for homeschooling or teaching their children at home?
That's a great question. And realistic expectations is a very important thing, right? Because frustration comes when your expectations don't meet with reality. And going into something you've never done before, it might be difficult to kind of even know what to expect. So I think that's something that folks who are thinking about homeschooling should think about. Homeschooling is not schooling at home. It doesn't take as much time to do the academics. 2 to 3 hours a day is usually more than enough. And you have much more time for children to pursue other interests, other areas that they're interested in. And we've put together a website called youcanhomeschool.com, youcanhomeschool.com, which has a three-step approach where basically you need to understand the legalities, and we're the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. That's kind of what we're experts in. But we also have consultants and resources available on the website for people to find curriculum, learn about their children's learning styles, those sorts of things. And we really want to encourage folks to think differently about education. When you have your kids home, it's a very different approach. It doesn't have to look like school. It can look very different. I know some of my daughters, you know, they love to stay in their pajamas for a long time. And you know what? That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. You can do a school in your pajamas, folks. You can let your kids sleep in a little bit later if you want to. You don't have to get up at 6 a.m. to get on the bus. But, you know, some kids like to get up real early and get through their schoolwork and then have the rest of the day for other things. So, you know, as a family, you've got to kind of figure out what rhythm is going to work for you. And it may be different for each person. You've got different things you're juggling, work schedules and other things. So every family is going to be different. I think, you know, people who are thinking about doing it just have to be very flexible, take it one day at a time, see what's working, and don't be afraid to change something if you feel like you want to make a change.
All right. And if people are looking at making a change, is this the website you would refer them to first, youcanhomeschool.com?
Absolutely. Youcanhomeschool.com is a part of our HSLDA family. And, you know, they can join HSLDA. They can get information about how to get started homeschooling. There are videos there that are available for them and links to other resources where they can connect with other homeschoolers. So it's a great place to start.
All right. And of course, HSLDA is Homeschool Legal Defense Association. And we've been speaking with Michael Donnelly. Michael, thank you so much for being with us on Family Policy Matters.
Thank you, Tracy. It's been a real pleasure to be with you and your audience today.
You've been listening to Family Policy Matters. We hope you enjoyed the program and plan to tune in again next week. To listen to this show online and to learn more about NC Family's work to inform, encourage, and inspire families across North Carolina, go to our website at ncfamily.org. That's ncfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you and your family.